Scott Berguin at KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove. We're checking back in with folks on the Bring Them Home Now tour, and we're talking to Al Zappala, who's on the northern leg of the tour. Al is a member of Gold Star Families for Peace, and since the first time we've talked to Al, we'll hopefully get a little bit of the story for him. He's got a little bit of break in the action and a chance to talk to us. Hello, Al.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
You said you just left Chicago, is that correct?
Yes. We just left Chicago. Sort of 3 days we were in Chicago. They really kept us busy. We were going 15, 16 hours a day there. We would leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. We did numerous things. We spoke at a Latino high school last week, where we actually went into the classrooms and we spoke with six of us, and we spoke at three different classes. So we were able to reach a lot of kids about counter recruiting. And teachers there told us that the recruiters walk the halls there down the school.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them were kind of glad to see us. We also, they recruited. Most of the recruiting is done in inner city schools and also in community colleges. So we visited two community colleges. One was Northeastern University. And I forget what the other name of that college was, but same thing. They go there because it's community colleges and it's mostly working class guys, kids that go there. So that's where the recruiters are.
Right. So what kind of response did you get? You said some of the teachers are happy about you being there. Much response from the students?
Yeah, I mean, they invited us, and they seemed responsive. Now, they're like mostly history classes that we talked to, so some of them, they posed questions. Some people felt maybe they were hostile questions, but I didn't take it that way. I mean, I thought they were just posing the questions to show the other side, and to give the kids both viewpoints of what was happening. So it was interesting. And we spoke in many vigils. We went to Congressman Hastert's office,
right, Dennis Hastert,
House Majority Leader. And that was like in Republican territory, and we asked for an audience with him or his aides, which they refused, and Cindy Sheehan came in for that, and we spoke to the crowd, but there was a lot of counter demonstrators was screaming their heads off. So, it was okay. I mean, there was more demonstrators than counter demonstrators, but it still was like a lot of shouting back and forth. And I don't know. To me, it wasn't real productive. But then we spoke at a vigil last night, and I went till 9:30 or something, and then it was an hour away. By the time we got back to the house we were staying, it was 10:30, 11 o'clock, and so we've been going pretty good. And our coordinator now claims that it won't be as hectic. It'll just be one speech, two speeches a day or something that we have to give. So.
All right. Well, you'll believe that when you see it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I mean, I don't know if I could keep that kind of schedule up for two more weeks, but I don't know if we could. But it was good because we really reached a lot of people, I think. I felt the things that happened in Chicago were positive,
What kind of, have you been able to see what kind of media coverage you've been getting while you were in the Chicago area?
You know, the media's there, but I didn't see really a whole lot of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we made the evening news, the local news, I forget what affiliate it was, one night, and, you know, the way everybody talks, and, you know, it was like 40 minutes of talking, and they take about 10 seconds out of it, you know,
right.
So...
Right.
That's about it. I mean, you know, I guess I'm thankful for that, but that's the kind of coverage you get, you know, not much at all.
It seems like your main impact anyway is the face-to-face stuff that you're doing in the schools and individuals and everything else you're doing. It's not the media.
Well, yeah, I mean... We would like to have our voices heard by everyone, and we certainly would love the corporate media to listen to us. But you know, it's still mostly the progressive media that listens to our voices, so we stay with our friends and. But we still try to get the corporate media to listen to us. Our message is that rallies and stuff like this is to, you know, some people say talk to your congressman, do this, do that. But, I mean, I just tell them I don't, you know, I can't tell them what to do but to speak out. I mean, if it means calling your congressman, if it means talking to your neighbor, if it means talking to a counter-demonstrator, then, you know, it's just, speak out, you know. I mean, we're speaking out, and we hope that the people we speak to will speak out. So, that's pretty much the message that we're trying to get here, you know. And, you know, of course, the message is to end the war, you know, and to end the war now.
Right.
So that's what we say, bring our troops home. You know, end the war now and take care of them when they get here.
Right.
And never again ever go to war based on lies.
Mm-hmm. So, Al, you are headed, where's your next stop right now?
We're someplace in Indiana, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But that's going to be like a whistle stop.
Okay.
And then we're there for maybe an hour, and then we're off to Toledo.
Toledo.
Now, I don't know if you heard, but we got word from our coordinator that they have these 2,000 tombstones in Toledo commemorating the fallen.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yes, and someone destroyed them.
Someone destroyed them?
Yep, some vandals came and destroyed them. So... this is where we're headed for.
Okay.
You know, this should be interesting, but things are getting a bit nasty, I think. I mean, I kind of felt that, I kind of wrote that off, you know, at Hastert's because we were in, like, heavily Republican neighborhood when that happened, when these demonstrators were, like, screaming at us there. But, counter-demonstrators were screaming at us. But now, you know, we get this word of them desecrating these tombstones in Toledo. So we'll see what happens. But
okay, well,
that's where we're going. Yeah.
All right, it'll be very interesting to talk to you about that. I want to back up a little bit, Al, because
sure.
It is the first time that folks that will be listening to this radio broadcast will have most of them anyway will have. Heard your voice, and if you don't mind, I know all of you have to tell these stories over and over again, and I just like for folks to have some background on you.
Sure.
As I told folks, you're from Gold Star Families for Peace.
Yeah.
Your son, if I'm correct, Sherwood Baker, was killed in Iraq. And can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that, and maybe even what brought you to Gold Star Families for Peace and to be doing what you're doing right now?
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit. I'll tell you a little bit about my son. My son, Sherwood Baker, was killed in Iraq April 26, 2004. Sherwood came to us when he was 13 months old. He was abandoned by his by his biological parents. A year after he came to us, my son Dante was born, and then 2 years after that, my son Raphael was born. So that's, you know, we became a family.
Mm-hmm.
And now I live in Philadelphia, and I live in the inner city, and my kids growing up, Sherwood was always the protectorate of his brothers. You know, Sherwood grew to 6'4", so he was always a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we believe in public education, so we always sent our kids to public school, and at times it got a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, as a parent, I really didn't notice. I mean, I would ask them, you know, how's everything, and they'd always say, okay. They never told us.
Mm-hmm.
Until they grew up and they became adults, and then they said, oh, yeah, Sherwood, man, these guys used to come over and give us a hard time, and Sherwood would, you know, Sherwood would fend them off. So he was always a protectorate. Then he went to college. He went to King's College. It was a Catholic college in a town called Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which is in the Pocono Mountains. It's about 100 miles north of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went up there, he was a disc jockey for the college radio station,
mm-hmm.
and he played rap. Coming from the city, that was what he knew, was rap. And up there, they didn't know anything about rap. And at one point, they were considering taking him off the air. But there was a prison up there, and the inmates who started sending letters in and making phone calls to the university, hey, look, finally, you know, we're up in this prison, and there's no music that we can relate to, and finally there's music we can relate to. Don't take it off the air. So they kept him on the air. And you know, these just little short stories, I guess.
Sure,
but,
sure, yeah.
And he majored in he wanted to be a teacher to get his teacher credentials in early childhood education.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was 21, he became a father. And although he did graduate college, he never did get his teaching credentials as he needed to work. And he, to support his wife and child, he got a job in a daycare center. And he was making like $12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning, I think, of his appeal to join the National Guard. One of them was the money.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was, you got these chemicals here. I'm sorry. Jesus. Excuse me a second.
Okay, go ahead.
Close the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll keep going. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Trials and tribulations of traveling here.
Yes.
But then, in Wilkes-Barre, they have floods all the time. And the river up there overflows. And he was loading sandbags one day, and the National Guard was loading along with him. And he thought, and he was very community-minded, and he thought, wow, this would be a good way to help the community. I mean, this is what the National Guard is supposed to do, right? They're a national force. They protect the homeland. They protect it in floods and forest fires and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when this disaster happened in New Orleans, I couldn't help but think of Sherwood. I mean, there's always things that remind me of Sherwood anyway. And I thought, wow, you know, that's what he was doing, was trying to stop the floods from coming into Wilkes-Barre.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I thought, but the Louisiana National Guard isn't there.
Right.
You know, the Mississippi National Guard isn't there. They're in Iraq, and even more than the fact that the people are in Iraq, the equipment's in Iraq. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, like all those people that just couldn't get out of the city. They drowned and died. I mean, if they had the trucks and buses, how many of those people could they have gotten out of there and saved?
Right.
So, you know, this disaster has finally hit home to the American people, you know, because it's sort of like, you know, a lot of people, it's not their kid over there. They don't even think about it. But now, you know, you can see how this war has stretched this country so thin that it's affecting us right here. I mean, another disaster could happen. Who knows? A forest fire or,
right,
you know, another flood or another hurricane. We're coming into hurricane season again. So, I don't know, it reminded me of Sherwood. And even at the time when he was saying he's loading sandbags, I myself didn't think about it. I just thought, oh, okay, he's loading sandbags. I'm thinking, like, you know, if he saved someone's home, if he saved someone's life. So he joined the Guard for those reasons, and he also joined because he had an outstanding $10,000 student loan, which they promised to pay off. Now, he joined in 1997.
Okay.
And he had to pay that loan off.
Say that again? I'm losing you, Al. Al, I don't know if you can hear me, but you're breaking up, and I'm not... I don't know if you went around a corner or something. Are you there? Okay. Sorry to have that happen. Al, I don't know if you can hear me, but we're not picking you up anymore here, so we're going to have to cut it off. We will talk to Al again on the northern leg of the tour, perhaps later today this evening or tomorrow morning, somewhere along the line. We hope to get back to him. It's unfortunate. He was right in the middle of his story, but some good stuff there about his son, Sherwood Baker, who died in Iraq, as he said, April 26th, 2004. I should be clear, he was killed in Iraq in April of 2004. So we'll be back with other interviews. This is Scott Berggren from KSOW in Cottage Grove, Oregon, bringing these voices from the Bring Them Home Tour, Now Tour, to you.
If you'd like to make a call,
there we go. We got the official.
Please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.